Hi, Anil. Really nice to have you on our Big Unlock podcast. A very warm welcome to you and to all our listeners. This is season 6 and we are 180 plus episodes. So really nice to always connect with C-suite leaders, get their thoughts and thought leadership about the current topics in AI, Gen AI, and healthcare systems. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi. I'm the managing partner here at Big Rio Demo and the co-host of the Big Unlock podcast. I'll hand it over to Rohit.
Yeah, hi, Anil. Welcome to the Big Unlock podcast. As Ritu said, super excited to have you for this conversation. I'm Rohit Mahajan, managing partner and CEO at Big Rio and Demo Consulting. And over to you, Anil, for your intros.
Thank you, Rohit and Ritu. And I would say happy day to all the listeners. Hope you're all doing great wherever you are. My name is Anil Saldana. I'm the Chief Innovation Officer for Rush. We are a major health system in Chicago. In terms of my role, I basically lead innovation and I operate at the intersection of public health, community health, and delivery. So I lead innovative initiatives in public health in collaboration with city, state, and county partners and community health. I'll talk about our communities and, of course, some of the initiatives at the health system level. In terms of my background, I have, I would say, a combination of technology and business education, experience, and skills. I would call myself an innovator with a tech and business background, and I collaborate with clinical leadership on the clinical side and bridge that gap with tech, business, and clinical excellence. In terms of Rush, we are three major hospitals, and Rush was founded a week before the city of Chicago was incorporated. So it has a long history. So yeah. We serve the major Chicago downtown area, and we are a major force on the west side of Chicago. Our flagship hospital is Rush University Medical Center. Our two other hospitals, major hospitals, are in the suburbs, basically Aurora, serving the communities there, and also Oak Park, a suburb on the west side of Chicago. In terms of our priorities, Rush is known for clinical excellence and quality. We've been on the U.S. News hospital role for a few years, and this is an honor kind of bestowed on like 20 hospitals or health systems in the US. And we've been on the honor roll for a long time. And we've been on the quality ratings from Vizient, like number one, number two, number three, like basically top five for the last few years. So we've been a quality leader in the US, and many of our specialties are ranked like top 50. Like if you're talking about like the communities we are serving, it depends on the hospital, but the major community we serve on the west side of Chicago, there's a lot of health equity needs, there's inequities. And, one of the problems we are trying to address is what we call Chicago's death gap. And Rush has made it as a corporate mission or strategy to lower what we call this life expectancy gap by 50% by the year 2030, which is an aggressive goal. And we've kind of aligned towards that mission. If we are to explain what the Chicago's death gap is, so if you've been to Chicago, you probably know Michigan Avenue, the Magnificent Mile, and Streeterville area. It's a very affluent region of Chicago. But if you take four subway stops to the west, life expectancy drops by 16 years and more. And in Chicago, on the south side, it's 30 years and more. So we have this life expectancy issue in Chicago, basically inequities, and you can see it from, the life expectancy metric. So basically, it's great to see a health system such as Rush making it a mission to address this life expectancy gap and lower it as a mission. And when we look at some of the factors that contribute this life expectancy gap is social determinants of health, of course, but also things like cardiovascular diseases, firearm injuries, cancer, stroke. And one of the factors that our clinicians talk about is uncontrolled hypertension. So we are looking at like a community level, a population level, how to like basically to address, you know, this uncontrolled hypertension and cardiovascular diseases. So we can get into the chronic care side of things. But I wanted to bring up the whole issue of, the community side of the house and the Chicago's death gap, life expectancy gap and stuff. Yeah.
Great. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm sure our listeners have already learned a lot just by, you know, this first few sentences. And how about telling us about Rush Connect Plus? Anil, we've heard that, you know, there's some initiative called Rush Connect Plus.
There's been a lot of, I would say, paradigm shifts in the industry, right? It's demographic, patient expectations, the advent of various technologies. And, you know, we had a pandemic which forced our patients, our providers to go virtual, in the last few years because of necessity and, you know, the need of the time when we were in this unprecedented times with the pandemic. So Rush has put in a lot of, I would say, focus on the virtual side of things. So we've started with virtual primary care. Mm-hmm. We have put focus on virtual urgent care. We've also put focus on virtual specialty care. And in recent times, we have started like 2-3 months ago, this offering. It's kind of a digital to kind of direct to consumer kind of an approach called Rush Connect Plus. And it comes off of what you call our Rush Connect program, which leans heavily towards our virtual offering. To talk about, you know, virtual primary care is a no-brainer. You can get access to a primary care, you know, wherever you are using like, you know, virtual mechanisms. But virtual urgent care is, I would say, unique. Is you can, for 40 plus conditions, you know, you can get appointment to see some kind of a provider in like in the next 20 minutes. I think that offering is kind of unique to at least our patient population, that when you have some kind of a cough or some skin condition, like you need to refill certain like prescriptions or so they have identified about 40 conditions for which you don't have to drive down to like a clinic. So this virtual urgent care addresses about 40 conditions and you can get appointment with a provider in like 20 minutes. So it's virtual urgent care. And we have expanded virtual offering to about 8 specialties through virtual specialty care. So this has been the foundation over the last year plus, you know, as part of a Rush Connect program. And this is one of our cornerstone with the digital transformation efforts happening at Rush that's being led by our chief medical officer. So talking about Rush Connect Plus, it's kind of a subscription offering that we are providing to our communities and patient population. I would say it kind of, progression with how patient populations are evolving from a demographic purposes. A lot of younger patients, you know, they are not interested in having a dedicated primary care. They would like to get care whenever they need, wherever they are. So it's a subscription-based offering in line with some of the offerings that you see from tech companies and startups. So Rush has started this Rush Connect Plus, and they like heavily discount the first month. And I think it's about $18 a month subscription. You can be anywhere in the US, basically across state lines, to, you know, be part of this offering. Right. And you get access to 24/7 like care team, and of course access to our high quality specialty services, you know, referrals, you know, backed by like a high quality very popular health system in the US, basically. Yeah.
Anil, when you were doing the introduction, I was actually thinking about your story about how did you get into healthcare, and you're so passionate, it comes through in your introduction itself. But I do know from your background that you didn't really start in healthcare. So could you please share with us your journey on how you got into healthcare and how you're kind of thinking about it from a future perspective?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question that's probably going to take a lot of time, I would say. Healthcare.
We hear the abbreviated version. Origin stories are always a big hit with our listeners. They want to, you know,
no,
understand.
I know. This is something I've been saying in the last few years is, in my opinion, like healthcare is the next frontier. Yeah. It affects each one of, I would say, the citizens of the world. And so I basically started in tech, and, I don't remember having like a major affinity or love for biology growing up. And that's one of the reasons why I guess I didn't become a doctor. Yeah. And of course, I started with tech, you know, high tech. And eventually in like a few years, I started venturing into the business side of things. I got educated with a business program at Berkeley when I used to live in the Bay Area and work for like, you know, Silicon Valley companies. So then eventually, I think I kind of progressed to solving business problems using tech as the platform. Fast forward a few years, you know, I worked in like tech and like the business side, but I started getting into verticals and I've kept up with the latest that's happening in the industry, be it like mobile, be it the cloud, be it be like, you know, cybersecurity, big data. So it was natural for me to be on the innovative side of things as society has evolved. And a few years back, you know, maybe it was a calling. I got the opportunity to be on the founding team of Tempus AI here in Chicago. So because they really valued my big data and cybersecurity expertise, and also I would say software engineering and product teams, and you know, that background, they really valued. So as the company was being built from the ground up here, and at that time, I felt it was a calling because Tempus was focused on cancer. And as you have known, like every like family members, personal experiences, yes, your neighbors, your mm-hmm. colleagues, they've always been, I would say, devastated by cancer. And cancer, the cancer genomics, and, you know, is what pulled me into healthcare. And, you know, some of us are geared towards solving problems, and healthcare is one that has the most problems. So you might use your expertise and, you know, your connections and, you know, basically your analytical skills. And healthcare is one vertical that needs a lot of help, not only from the digital side of things, the technology side of things, but also business, or like I would say marketing and any facets of business, healthcare can be, you can apply to healthcare because it really affects each one of us. And somebody, like some people ask me like, okay, how do you highlight, or what's the key, I would say, ingredient of you know, being at Rush and, you know, operating in the role you are in, like, you know, how would you kind of characterize it? And I say, look, I give hope to my neighbors, my friends, because irrespective of being a doctor, like if you're not a doctor, doesn't mean like you cannot explain to them certain things. And it really makes an impact because some of the diseases people have, like knowing about their diabetes or hypertension, cancer diagnosis and stuff, just deciphering like some of these complicated concepts in a very easy to understand, you know, for the layman. I think that's a big challenge with healthcare. So that's one of the things I really enjoy doing, is as I get this exposure to some of our leaders, clinical staff, you know, executives, and the communities, the patients we serve, it really builds you as an individual, and you are able to be that kind of a conduit to your family, your neighbors, friends, to healthcare. And also talk about some of the great, I would say, advances and innovation that healthcare is providing around the world. And I mention this all the time. You know, there is so much rhetoric in the media about how complicated things are with healthcare. Yeah. US has probably one of the best healthcare like systems in the world. When you talk about therapeutics, advances in cell and gene therapy, cancer detection, I will talk about, and surgery, you know, kudos to our, you know, clinical staff, the advanced research that happens, public health, community health, you know, all our health systems in the US, and that focus on patients that the industry has. So all of this collectively makes the industry a very robust possibility in the future. That was kind of a long-winded answer to a very simple question. It's like, hey, why are you in healthcare and what do you enjoy? But I wanted to share some of my perspectives. Yeah. I mean, this is a like basically an invitation to people listening. So if you are like not very sure about healthcare, it affects you, it affects your families, your friends, your colleagues. And yeah, healthcare is kind of waiting for you to come in and try to help out, solve problems, and, you know, don't give up on healthcare.
Great call, Anil. Thank you.
Yeah, really good answer. I really liked hearing, the fact that healthcare affects each and every one of us, and the fact that you can give hope and become that conduit to, explaining to people what these things are about. Great answer. Thank you for sharing, Anand. That leads us right very nicely into our next topic, which was this early cancer detection using GRAIL. So if you would like to talk about that and tell us a little bit more about that.
Definitely. So I'd like to take a step back into some of our strategies over the years. In healthcare, a lot of the health systems are struggling with some new initiatives, for example. And you might see some health systems start dabbling in some new initiatives, try to build it on their own. Yeah. I talked about Rush Connect Plus. It's one of the initiatives we have taken it on our own to, try it out, figure things out, go through the pain of building, scaling. And I'm sure we've been watched by other health systems who want to basically maybe take the lessons learned and the successes of, let's say, the Rush Connect Plus over the years. There's no problem with that. When you look at our corporate strategy, we've also partnered with companies and organizations in areas that we can accelerate, I would say, excellence in clinical care and access to care and, things like that. One example we have had in the last couple of years is we have this deep partnership with MD Anderson in Houston. And we basically, based on this partnership, we have built cancer centers in the Chicagoland region. And if my memory serves right, I think we have about 4 cancer centers around the Chicagoland area called Rush MD Anderson Cancer Centers. The premise or objective behind this partnership is best of care in cancer oncology, that MD Anderson is well known for clinical excellence, clinical protocols, and, basically clinical care, and also expanding it to research, clinical trials, therapeutics, whatever the advances that they are on. Yeah. So our patient population, our communities don't have to travel to Houston to take advantage of the excellence that, MD Anderson has built in cancer care. So we've gotten a lot of positive, feelers in the community and media because of this partnership. And if you drive down our expressways where Rush is based, and you can clearly see on the signage, the Rush MD Anderson Cancer. So it is basically generating a lot of interest among the population as to what is this MD Anderson, and we can come to a Rush system to get world-class cancer care and adjoining protocols and stuff. So we have put a lot of focus on cancer care because it's been one of those, I would say, primary diseases that's really affecting our patient communities, but also seriously contributing to the life expectancy gap that I was talking about. So as part of this cancer focus, about a year ago, we started on this journey with a company called GRAIL, our clinical leaders in the cancer service line. So they looked at the promise of GRAIL from their, I would say, scientific studies, the numbers they had put out. So we took a bold bet to offer the GRAIL test to our patient population and anybody who wants it. So this was a bold bet. GRAIL was probably the first one in an area called multi-cancer early detection, MCED. It basically detects 50 plus cancer types. And our one of our oncologists who led this program basically says that many of the cancers that it detects are very advanced types of cancer which have no other biomarkers. So when you look at early detection, particularly cancer in the early end of a life cycle for a patient, it's serious. So it's not FDA approved right now. And there's only a few payment avenues for this. So it costs about $750 out of pocket. And it has certainly generated a lot of interest among our communities and our, folks in the Chicagoland area. And we are not able to keep up with the demand. So the key for us was not only offer this to our communities we serve, but also systemize this test, with referrals and follow-up when you have a positive signal. from this, you know, what do you call it, liquid biopsy based, you know, blood test from Grail. I don't want to take names, but there's another company, a very popular company in certain areas, which has released their MCED test, I think a week or two ago. So this, I would say, area will get a lot of love and focus in the next few years. But Rush as a system in the region, you know, we have made it into, I shouldn't call it a priority, but just an avenue or like an opportunity for our patients to take advantage of this early detection. Our, you know, our CEO, Dr. Omar Latif, talks about the amount of money that as a society we spend on end-of-life care. So it's a very, I would say, a difficult time for families and, you know, and this desire to try to change outcomes. So there's a lot of focus on end-of-life care in the society in the U.S. So Dr. Latif says we should also start looking at the other end of the spectrum in early detection so we don't have to get to this end-of-life situation. So I, in my opinion, that's a very deep thought coming from a critical care physician, Dr. Latif, a deep insight. So in terms of cancer, I feel early detection is going to be key. It may be blood tests that we offer and some other systems and clinical outfits do offer it around the country. But in the region, we are the first to basically offer Grail blood test as a system to our patient communities and population. And basically, we have systemized the detection and follow-up care and stuff like that. Yeah.
Thank you, Anil. That's very interesting. We didn't know about this test. It's good to know and good for the listeners to know as well. So whoever's interested can look up more information on it. I think this is the longest we've gone on a podcast without mentioning the word AI or generative AI. So I think our next topic has to be that. And we were very interested when we talked on our intro call to learn about, you know, this open AI based kiosks that you use for behavioral health for PTSD. I think it's called RODOP. So if you can tell us a little more about that, that'll be nice.
Yeah, definitely. So if you talk about AI as a system, right? We are, I think, at par with what a system needs to have. We have put focus on ambient listening and, you know, we partnered with a company called Suki, and with all the announcements coming from Epic, this whole area or region of AI will be open to, you know, innovation in the next few years. I talked about Rush Connect Plus, Rush Connect, all the virtual offerings. We've also brought in like an AI-driven symptom checker that we are prominently portraying on our digital properties, be it our website or new mobile app, you know. So it allows us, our patients, to check, go through their symptoms, and so they can be kind of directed to appointments to the right specialty and stuff. So these are some of the, I would say, innovations that Rush is embracing as part of, you know, your digital transformation and stuff. So it's at par with what other systems are doing. So nothing, I would say, unique or amazing about it, right? On the research side, we have this program called RODOME. It's been there for many years. RODOME, it's part of this Wounded Warrior project as part of the Department of Psychiatry. So it caters to the veteran community with advanced PTSD and some of these behavioral challenges. We run like boot camps and stuff as part of like research, because we don't want to directly put it into a clinical setup. As you know, it needs to go through a few iterations to, you know, get validated, figure out all the challenges with AI-based setup. So as part of this RODOME program, our, I would say, research slash clinicians and behavioral experts have come up with an AI agent, multi-agent-based setup called Socrates. Okay. So it's basically a kiosk, and we offer this to patients in a research setting, in a very controlled setting. And there are some research papers published in recent times talking about this cloud-based, OpenAI-driven, LLM-based, multi-agent kind of an offering to our behavioral patients who are primarily our veteran community. So you have what you call an AI therapist interacting with a veteran going through this kind of a controlled, you know, study, for example. So this AI therapist is backed by multi-agents. We have, I think it's called AI Rater, and I'm missing one more, like an AI agent that sits. So this is like a three-pronged approach. So The AI Rater, and I forget this one more AI, it's not coming to my brain right now. So basically, you have an AI therapist talking to a veteran or a behavioral a patient in a study. So the questions and answers that are being crafted, and so this multi-agent setup goes through, an LLM to interact with this patient in a very controlled environment, a study environment. There's some challenges with LLMs, as you know. Yes. Of course, hallucinations are very common, there's bias, but also they have a problem called looping. Like when you you get into this like a kiosk, like kind of a like almost like a chatbot kind of an environment, you get into this loops. It can get into this looping where it will start getting into the same concept that it has, and you can get, because you have no control over an LLM. So they have devised this multi-agent setup so you can make changes kind of on a real-time basis to ensure that looping doesn't happen. Some of the hallucination concerns are mitigated. And this is, in my opinion, still in a research kind of environment. So we need to go through, do some feasibility studies and, stuff like that. So I'm really hopeful for the future in terms of AI care. As you know, behavioral health is one area where we are understaffed as an industry. A lot of challenges exist. So in my opinion, AI can be the reset that the industry is looking for, but also in the behavioral health, you're seeing a lot of AI-based innovation happening. And Rush Rodome is one of the areas where we are using AI in a research setting. And you can certainly, the readers can, find some research papers published on Socrates and learn more about it. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
So Anil, staying on the AI and the Gen AI theme, like you mentioned, there are several initiatives which have taken off, like ambient listening and several others. So what else do you see in the future, Anil? And you talked about this multi-agent systems. So what else do you see coming down the pike? Any initiatives that you are thinking about on the Gen AI side, or talking to your colleagues and peers that you know about, that industry is thinking?
I think one focus I wanted to bring up is, I talked about our communities, right? We have a community with the most inequities and life expectancy issues. And the population is, I would say, anywhere from 400 to 600,000 lives on the west side of Chicago. I don't have the exact numbers, but it's a large population with like the most inequities and life expectancy issues, basically, and life expectancy gaps. So, like I said, the primary, I would say, factor contributing to this life expectancy gap by our clinical leaders focus in this health equity area is chronic care and cardiovascular diseases. And, so this focus on chronic care. To get there, we have to, I would say, have the data all in one place, for example, right? So, Rush, through a major grant from SERLF Foundation as part of the Chicago Community Trust, we got this $7.5 million grant, I think it was at the beginning of this year. Yes, at the beginning of this year. So we make this announcement. So I'm really happy to share that we established what you call an health equity analytics studio at Rush, and also building this foundation, like a data warehouse, to bring all these data sources. It might be clinical data, it might be census data, it might be data from your wearables. So bring these data from multiple areas into one place. And we are able to, once we put in the foundation with great collaboration with our Department of Digital and Information Services at Rush, and put this kind of a research informatics-based data warehouse. And once we start collecting this data, we are then able to identify what you call these hot zones in terms of chronic care needs and life expectancy needs on the map around the Chicagoland area. And this is, I think, in my opinion, will be a great like a digital aid for some of our, you know, public health departments, community health departments, and also for multiple service lines at Rush, who will be able to understand like the patient populations we serve, and they may have two or more, you know, chronic conditions, and, you know, with SDOH needs and stuff. So it's a very complicated area we are targeting in terms of chronic care management at a population community level. And I'm very hopeful that we'll succeed in the next year or two in bringing up these hot zones, identifying these hot zones on the map in the region, and also combined with some of our initiatives, like, you know, on firearm registry and, you know, things like that in the public health side. These are some of the things that we are doing at Rush level. From an industry, when I talk to other folks, what I see is this major focus on AI in terms of voice and, you know, ambient, looking at like AI seeping in or percolating into every facets of clinical care. You know, administrative burden, operational efficiency are probably the primary areas AI is going to make an effect. But as, you know, AI models, algorithms from a Gen AI perspective get refined over time, you might start seeing them as part of clinical care. I'm not here to take a guess, wild guess when that will happen, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But the signs look very hopeful. But traditional machine learning, AI, you know, models have already gotten into cancer detection, in the cardiovascular detection, like vision AI, and a lot of diagnostics. So it's already here and it's being actively, you know, used in our diagnostics across the system and around the and across the industry also. Yeah. But I'm also hopeful for some major paradigms coming in, like hospital at home, care at home, you know, things like that. So there's going to be shift towards consumerism, you know, this shift towards like outpatient ambulatory settings versus inpatient care that we had over the years. So care will start moving towards wherever the patients are, whatever environment they are used to, for example, homes. So I would say watch out for hospital at home and, you know, some of these paradigms. And maybe in the next few years, you will have folks who are experts at some of these paradigms. But all I want to tell listeners is don't give up on healthcare. Just the rhetoric and, you know, the negativity you might see on Twitter or social media or Facebook or whatever, just don't give up because you have had some bad experiences. As an industry, you know, things are improving. And if you cannot be a participant in any way, maybe don't complain or something, and but, you know, be part of the solution in whatever way you can.
Great. I like that optimistic, you know, viewpoint. And also today I read something very interesting on LinkedIn. Anil, you were talking about how it's going to change all facets of patient care. You know, patient education, it was so interesting to read that this patient came in and he asked the doctor about a very specific, he came in for vertigo and he asked the doctor about a very specific test called the tilt table test. And the doctor was like so amazed and he was like, are you in healthcare? How do you know about this? And he was like, no, I prepped for my appointment with ChatGPT. And the doctor had written a whole article about this saying that this is now going to lead to like a next level because he felt like he was being interrogated by, you know, a colleague or somebody who had expertise in this area. This was not like a general level question. So I think that's also a very interesting paradigm shift that the patients are going to be so well versed with, you know, what's happening to them. So yeah, like you said, lots of reasons to be optimistic about healthcare.
Completely. I mean, patients are partners in their care, right? When you think about it, the more they're empowered and more educated. Of course, there are dangers of Dr. Google, as you know, through all the articles.
Exactly.
But in certain
this
cases,
is going to the next level. This is like way above Google as well. So this was something very interesting that I just read today.
I mean, think about like what I call connected care ecosystem, right? Care wherever you are, like whatever technologies are available, whether virtual, AI, whatever. So in the future, you will see this connected care ecosystem where everybody is going to be a partner. And basically, society is going to be better off than what we are today. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
I think that's an amazing note to conclude this podcast. And I'm sure we'll have more opportunities in the future to chat.
Thank you for being our guest on the show today. I'm sure everyone's going to learn a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, rush.edu. We have our website. You know, there's a lot of content, definitely. And of course, reach out on LinkedIn or, you know, happy to answer any questions offline. Thank you.